Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Mary. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me for just a minute. Y'all are lucky that Gracie came in, because I was going to move everything up there. If you're going to sit in the back, I was going to preach in the back. So you can all thank Gracie, because I'm just going to stay here now. Oh, you're always that important, honey. Okay, I want everybody to just take a minute and take out your wallets. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to give everything in your wallet, but just take out your wallet. If you have a credit card, I want you to take it out. I have mine. I just want you to know I had to put it in my wallet because I don't often carry it with me. Hold it up, and I want you to look around the room. Most everybody has a credit card of some sort. No, not yet. Wait till later. Okay. If you have an ID card or a driver's license, hold it up. Or any form of ID, it doesn't matter what it is. Okay, that's a McDonald's card, isn't it? Oh, you guys have different driver's licenses. I forgot. That's what it looks like. Oh, okay, that works too. Okay, if you have a gift card, I'm holding up the AARP card because my gift cards are all in my car. Hold it up. Did you look around? Okay. So pretty much everybody has had something on that list. Okay. Do you have your cell phone with you? Hold it up. Let me see. I know I'm a pain. It's okay. You love me anyway. Okay. So most of us have had something on that list. Now I want you to hold up your Sawgrass Church card, the one, you know, that you pass out to everybody. Okay, now look around the room. How many had something else, but how many have this? It's the Sawgrass Community Church business card. It's the one you should be passing out to people. Because it's not doing God any good sitting in your wallet. If you don't have one, it's okay. We're going to provide you some at the end of the service. So what did my driver's license say? Because that tells everything everybody needs to know about me, right? It says Deborah Lynn Frederick. It gives my address. It gives my date of birth. It tells people I am a female. It shows when I got my license and when my license expires. It tells if I need to wear glasses. Good job, Susan. It tells if I don't need to wear glasses. It's just blank there. It gives my height and weight. Yes, I lied about my height and weight when I gave the information. Basically, anything you need to know about me is on that license. It says if I'm a good driver. It says I'm a safe driver. It says that I'm an organ donor. It gives a lot of information about me. But does that really tell you who I am? Really doesn't have much. It doesn't tell you that I am a daughter of the king that sits on the throne today. Amen. It does not tell you that I am a daughter of the Most High God who loves and treasures me. It doesn't tell anybody else that I'm a princess in the kingdom of God. It doesn't tell anybody that I am a child of God. All it does is give vital statistics, basically. Really doesn't do more than that. The rest of it is my job. If I want you to know that I am a daughter of the King, the Most High God who sits on the throne today, that's my job. It's my responsibility. And that's what I have to do. Because God has called me to be faithful in letting people know who I am. Because only if I let them know who I am, can I let them know who he is. If I'm walking around and I'm in the grocery store and I'm picking up this and I'm complaining and I'm going, oh my gosh, really? $1.69 for bananas. And then I turn around and go, hey, by the way, guess what? I go to Sawgrass Community Church. This is the business card. You want to come? What are they going to do? They're going to go, I don't want to go to that church. I'm not being faithful to what God has called me to do. There are days I don't want to be faithful. On our way over here, Tom and I got into a little tiff. He can't hear. And when he can hear, he hears part of what I say. So I said to him, I said something to him, and he repeated. He said, well, did you? I said, what do you mean, did I? I said, I need to make sure I bring my wallet up front tonight. Oh, that's not what I heard. I said, yeah, I know. It's never what you hear. Was I being good? Was I being faithful to God when I snapped at him? Because I snapped. I get frustrated. Again, half the time he can't hear, and the part he can hear, I think he chooses not to. So I wasn't being faithful to God. Yeah, God gave me this talk for a reason. Not really appreciative, God, just so you know. But for me to be faithful to God, I have to have a deep personal relationship with him. And I have to listen when he's in my ear going, really, Deb? That's how you show you're being faithful to me? You snap at your husband on your way to church to give a talk about faithfulness. Wow, that one stung. That one stung a lot. But I have to be faithful. It's easy not to be sometimes. How many times do we just sit there and go, ugh, I'm tired today. Oh, I really don't want to go to church. I'm just going to listen to it on the podcast. I'm going to stay home. It's really, really miserable outside. I don't feel like going. Or I have had so much to do today. I'm just going to stay home and kick back and just kind of take it easy. Is that being faithful? Sometimes it's easier not to be faithful, but that's not what God has called us to do. We have heard, as followers of Christ, for the past few weeks, that we should be joyful in all circumstances. We should be patient and wait on the Lord. And we've learned how we need to exercise self-control and that we need to be gentle with others. We all know that God is faithful to us. There is no question in anybody's mind in this room. God is faithful to us. But are we? Are we faithful to him? Do our actions show truly that we are faithful in the little and the big things? So tonight we're going to discuss what faithfulness really is. Noah was faithful. I don't know that I could be as faithful as Noah. In Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. God told Noah to make an ark of cypress and gave him clear instructions on how to do it. Genesis 6:15 gives us those same clear directions. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 3 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening on 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything as God commanded. They say it took like 100 years to build the ark. That's faithfulness. He never gave up. He never quit. And imagine how he must have felt. Everybody around him going, it hasn't rained. What do you mean this is going to be a flood? You're crazy. You're a lunatic. But he kept at it. He was faithful to follow what God directed him to do. Can you imagine how Joshua must have felt when he told his small army, we're just going to march around Jericho and blow our trumpets, but stay silent till I tell you it's time to shout. Then we will win the battle. Joshua's army were faithful to obey his directions because they knew that Joshua was following what God had told him to do. Joshua was faithful to trust God's word. I don't know that I could have been that faithful. The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 6:2-5, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city, one with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, sound a long blast on the trumpets. Have the whole army give a loud shout, and then walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. That, beloved, is faithfulness. Did either of those scenarios sound plausible? Did they sound reasonable? Did they sound logical? Sometimes God calls us to do the illogical, the unnatural things. And if we're truly being faithful, we need to do them. God kept his word. These two men were just a few of the examples of being faithful to God. Despite what the appearance was, despite what the directions were, these two men stayed faithful to God. There are so many more examples in the Bible that we can discover for faithfulness. Abraham preparing to sacrifice Isaac. That was in Hebrews 11:17. These will all be in the notes on the thing. Paul in Acts 20:7-12, jumping on Eutychus, and I know I pronounced that wrong, saying, "Don't worry, he's alive." Luke 9:10-17, the disciples followed Jesus' direction to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed the multitudes. Now, as a woman who cooks, I could not take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed my family. Would never have been enough. But they followed what they were told to do. Think about in Exodus 14:1-29, when Moses raised his arms and parted the sea. These are things that they were not capable of doing on their own, but they were being faithful to follow what they were told to do. In Ezekiel 4:1-17, he was told to lie on his left side and his right side for 390 days on his left and 40 days on his right, to bear the sins of the people of Israel. I don't know that I could have done these things. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3:16-18. They remained faithful. It didn't matter what the circumstances were. They remained faithful. If you want to see the Hall of Fame of faithful followers, read all of Hebrews 11. There's a list of them. That's faithfulness. When the world says, this isn't going to work, and God says, but it is, just stay faithful. Again, we know that God is faithful to us. But how strong is our faithfulness to him? The world says, oh, that's silly, that's ridiculous, it's never going to work. And God says, but I told you to do it. We just baptized 8 people in this church, 8 new brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a church of 30. That's not possible. But God, because we were faithful, they are faithful. They said, I want to be baptized. I want to be a child of God. I want to be part of this family. Those are things that are not within the realm of natural. There are so many stories of those who've remained faithful to God and their calling that are not in the Bible. Daniel Warner, he's the founder of Church of God Ministries in Anderson, Indiana. They thought he was crazy. He branched out. He was being faithful to what God called him to do. Ann Smith, she's a 94-year-old woman who is faithfully praying for us because God put us on her heart. That's faithfulness. Billy Graham, he's a world-renowned evangelist. He had opposition against opposition. He stayed faithful. He reached a lot of people. George W. Bush Sr., our former president, his faith shaped his characters and policies while he was in office. We might not agree with every policy. We might not agree with every single person, but we don't have to. They were faithful to God's word. They were faithful to serve where God had called them. They stood against the crowd and they stood faithfully with God. If you're over 30, you might have heard of this person. If you're under 30, I don't know. Ann Mansfield Sullivan. Ann Mansfield Sullivan was 5 when she developed a bacterial infection in her eye. It led to a disease called trachoma. Not only is that extremely painful, but it severely damaged her sight. Anne was not considered a great scholar or even a great mind. She was considered unruly and loud, and people said she would never amount to anything in her life. But her determination to become more drove her to become the woman who helped shape the future. Anne Mansfield Sullivan was just 20 years old when she started working with a 7-year-old deafblind student. The student was out of control. She would physically attack Anne. The child made teaching less than enjoyable, but Anne was faithful in her commitment to the girl. Anne had to battle comments from her families, her friends, coworkers, and a multitude of others. They told Anne, just give up on the 7-year-old brat. She's just not worth it. Anne stayed committed. She was faithful to committing her life to serving this child, despite the physical abuse, despite the mealtime mayhem that occurred, constant temper tantrums by this child. But Anne stayed steadfast. She stayed faithful. She committed her life to this girl. In her heart, she knew this child was worth every single piece of pain that she endured. The ridicule, the food fights, the beatings, because this child hit her. This child physically abused her. But Anne never gave up, even when the child was less than cooperative. So within 2 years, this deaf blind girl was able to read and write in Braille. 2 years, that's a commitment, that's faithfulness. Anne Sullivan sat in class with this child and not only spelled every lecture into her hands, but everything in her textbooks, she spelled it into her hand. This deaf-blind student ultimately graduated from Radcliffe College. She was the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. The name of that girl, as most of you have probably figured out, is Helen Keller. Anne Mansfield Sullivan was faithful to her commitment to Helen Keller. Helen Keller went on to devote the rest of her life to helping and assisting and aiding the deafblind community. We probably all know the story of Helen Keller, but it was the faithfulness of Anne Mansfield Sullivan that helped make Helen Keller become the great woman that she was. Had it not been for the faithfulness of Anne, Helen Keller would not have led the life she had. Do you realize that Helen Keller has made a lifetime positive effect on the deafblind community? Changes were made. Changes have progressed. Things are incredibly better. Because before, back in Helen Keller's day, they would just shove the kids somewhere else. Nobody wanted to be bothered. But Anne Mansfield Sullivan said, no, I have made a commitment to this child. I'm going to be faithful to follow what God has told me to do. Even today, Helen's impact has helped having universal, lifelong lasting effects. That wouldn't have happened had Anne not committed herself to be faithful to the cause that she was. She lived a life of loyalty to Helen, despite her own pain and struggles. Remember, Anne couldn't see well. She had a debilitating disease in her eye. She had trachoma. Am I saying that right, Bridget? Okay. So she had reason to say, you know what? I'm just done. I'm going to walk away. But her faithfulness, her commitment, kept her steadfast in doing what she needed to do. She kept her word. She kept her promise. Ann Mansfield Sullivan was faithful despite the physical, emotional, and verbal attacks. Ann Mansfield Sullivan was a gifted teacher. Some even considered her a miracle worker, which is where we've all heard about her from. Have you ever watched a person on the street corner shouting at the passersby, screaming and yelling, "Repent or you're going to hell"? Sorry. They hold up signs, they use microphones, sometimes in a boombox, to make their point. But they're excited to do it. They are enthusiastic. Their vigor and excitement is contagious. Not always in a good way. They're screaming at you. Sometimes they're cussing at you. Sometimes they throw things at you. But the kind of excitement and fervor that they have for what they believe to be true is what we should be exhibiting. I don't want you all to get out in the street corner and yell at people saying you're all going to go to hell if you don't accept Jesus, because that is not the way to win people over to Christ. In fact, I don't think any one of them that stand on that corner have won one single person over to Christ. If anything, they've probably made them run away. But we need to have that kind of joy and excitement and fervor. We need to be that on fire for Christ. And to do that means we have to be faithful to him. And to be faithful to him, we have to be in his word. We have to be in his presence. Every single day, you should get out of bed and go, "Thank you, God, I got up today. Let me be your hands and feet. Let me be excited for you so that I can show others how wonderful you are." If we're not doing that, we're not being faithful. Because God got me up today. He was faithful to me. I need to be faithful to him. We all need to be faithful to him. But some days it's just easier. But is that being faithful? As I said, some days it just feels easier. And those are the days that I have to remind myself, I got up today. Some days I didn't get out of bed. And if I did, I'd fall flat on the floor. Excuse me. And that's okay. Because I can be just as faithful in that bed as I can out of the bed. I don't have to be up running around to be faithful to him. I can be faithful by reading my Bible. I can be faithful by getting on my laptop or my cell phone and chatting with some of my friends that don't know Christ, that say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Deb, your MS is really bad today. I'm sorry you can't get out of bed." And I go, "Oh, but I got up. And what God did for me today is incredible. Because not only did I get up, but I've got a chance to talk with you. I have a chance to be your friend." That's faithfulness. It's not always going to be a mountaintop experience. Sometimes it's just going to be right there. And that's okay. We need to be faithful in that time too. Colossians 3, 2 through 4 says, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory." You have to be faithful to get there. We have to be loyal. We have to be steadfast. We have to be trustworthy. We have to be reliable. And we have to be unwavering, even when things don't appear to be going our way, even when things appear to be a little weird, a little unnatural, or even against the odds. As I said, look back at Noah and Moses and Joshua and David and Daniel and Ezekiel. Things were not going their way. Things did not look good for them. It wasn't just laid out in stone saying, here, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen and it's all going to be good. They had to endure ridicule. They had to endure scoffing. They had to endure a lot of things to get where they were, but they remained faithful. In Deuteronomy 11, 13, and 22, if you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, that was 13. 22 says, if you carefully observe all the commands I am going to give you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him. That's really what faithfulness is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Hold fast to him. Even when the world says, you're crazy. Even when the world says, that's not natural. You have to love the Lord your God. Serve him with all your heart and soul. That's what faithfulness is. Faith looks beyond the present situation and looks towards something that is not seen. There's four factors to being capable of exhibiting faithfulness in all things. If they're not present in our lives, our ability to be faithful to God will be dependent upon our feelings and not upon the fruit of the Spirit. Notice how I didn't say the fruit of man or the feelings of man, but the fruit of the Spirit, which means if the Holy Spirit is living in us, we are to be faithful. How we exhibit our faithfulness is how the world will judge Jesus. As a faithful believer, we have hope. As believers, we take comfort in that hope. We rest in our hope. We rely on our hope in Jesus. Our hope is a hope that the world has no clue about. Unless they have a deep personal relationship with Christ, they don't have the hope we have. Obedience. Now that's a word we all love. Obedience. You cannot be faithful without being obedient to God. If you're being faithful to God, you must obey his word. It's not up for discussion. It just is. We have to believe, we have to presume that everything in the Bible is true. We must believe. We have to believe that God's word is true today as it was when it was breathed into being. And endurance. Following God is not a short-term thing. But as with Noah, it may take what seems like a lifetime. It requires that we stand the test of time. It means that we will not quit and we will not give up, even when we don't see the end. Being faithful is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it seems downright impossible. When you're praying for a child that's wandered away from God and is lost. When you're praying for a loved one who's in hospice and not expected to live much longer. Or maybe it's when you're sitting with a family member who has dementia and no longer recognizes you and you pray with them. Or maybe being faithful is just making it to church on a day when you are exhausted from the day's activities. Do we make reflecting God a priority to a lost world, or do we just put it off for another day, another time, another place? There's always tomorrow. Or are we being faithful to what God has called us to do? How easy is it to say, I just don't feel like going to church today. My legs hurt. I don't feel good. I got a sore throat. I'm tired. I've got so much to do. Or I just don't really want to do the loads of love this week. Maybe I just don't feel like doing outreach. I have other stuff. It's a higher priority. I have to go to Starbucks. Being faithful requires that we give up our own selfish desires. We plod through the disappointments and pursue the good and right things. We cannot quit on what God is calling each of us to do. Did God quit on you? He has called us to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. That means each fruit that is listed: love, patience, peace, joy, all those things. It's not always easy to do them all, but God never promised us easy either. Last Sunday, we participated in rejoicing with 8 of our brothers and sisters as they publicly professed their commitment to take up their cross and follow Christ, no matter the cost. That's faithfulness in action. Are we really being faithful to God? Are we making him come alive to those that need him? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone to be faithful? If you want to see a difference in the lives of those around you, you need to see, you need to be the part of the kingdom. Stop being watchers and be doers. That's how we can be faithful to God. And we must be faithful to God in all aspects of our lives, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's painful, even when it hurts. God tells us in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If we all do our part in being faithful, just think of the possibilities for God to build his kingdom right here in Hollywood. I am excited, church. I want to be more faithful to God. I want to see what he can do through me. I want to see what he can do through each one of you. Are you excited to see what he can do right here in our little town? As you leave today, stop by in the back and pick up your little packet of Sawgrass Community Church cards. Pass them out if you're being nice. If you're being nasty like that lady in the grocery store, don't pass them out, please. But be faithful. Be faithful to what God has called us to do. We each have a task. We each have a purpose. But our purpose is for him. We have to be faithful in doing that. I'm going to close in a minute, but I just want to tell you that if any of you need prayer tonight, raise your hand as we're praying. If you want to come up and pray, we'll be happy to pray with you. Don't walk out of here feeling beat up. Walk out of here feeling alone. We are all here for you. So as I pray, if you want prayer, if you want somebody to come over and pray with you, just put your hand up. If you want to make your way up here, somebody will come up and pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, come over on this side. But don't walk out of here feeling a need that can be satisfied by God. We are your brothers and sisters here. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to love you and support you so that you can go out and help build his kingdom, being faithful stewards of the gifts he's given us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We love you. Your faithfulness goes far beyond our comprehension. Father God, we just ask that you teach us to be more faithful. Teach us to be who you need us to be, to reach those that don't know you. Father God, we just love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you forgiving us people that we can reflect on and people that we can look at and say, that's what I want to be. That's how I want to act. That's how we build your kingdom. Father God, let us be your hands and feet so that you can go out and do the things you need to do through us, with us. We just ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.